I do want to personally thank you for your generosity for our church. It's always a blessing each year to see how the Lord works through our church family to provide. And you're not only generous financially, but through prayer and through care and through food. Last Sunday, we had our church potluck. I thought it was one of our best potlucks ever. And so props to all of you. And I want to give a special shout out to Abby Poon. That's Jonathan and Kristen's daughter. I heard this afterwards that they were telling her that, oh, we're having potluck this coming Sunday. And she said, what's a potluck? And they explained that, well, that's where everyone makes food and they make their good dishes to come and share with the church family. And she said, I want to make something. I want to bring something. So I understand she made, right? She made some cookies and she herself and she brought it to the potluck. So she's 5 years old. 5 years old. So I thought that was awesome. Shout out to Abby. Okay. Well, today is Super Bowl Sunday. So who's rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs? Anyone here? Oh, I see a few. I see a few. Okay, who's rooting for the 49ers? All right, some big ones. 49ers fans. You know, sports are interesting because it brings out that sense of competition, right? Brings out that sense of competition, and it creates rivalries. Rivalries. So I went back, and I looked online. I looked up, what is the greatest sports rivalry in history, right? What is the greatest football rivalry? And many lists, they have these two teams. What two teams do you think? What two teams? Right here. They said the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers is the greatest football rivalry. Well, what about other sports? There's the Yankees and the Red Sox, right? Yankees and the Red Sox, they have a famous rivalry. There's the Lakers and the Celtics, right? Both tied at 17 championships. So Lakers and Celtics, there was back in the day, for some of you that are older, Ali and Frazier, right? Ali, Frazier. So great rivals. But what would you say is the greatest rivalry or even the greatest feud in history, in any arena, beyond sports? For me, without a doubt, there's no question in my mind what comes to my mind in terms of the greatest feud or greatest rivalry or greatest conflict. And for me, because of the animosity and the years, it's the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs. I think that's probably one of the most contentious conflicts because they have a history, endless history of war between them, right? There's like death of loved ones. Many, many deaths on both sides. And there's thousands of years of fighting and animosity and tension and conflict, even today, right? Israel and Hamas, that's rooted in that conflict between the Jews and the Arabs. Yet in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, which we're covering today, it says the Jews and the Gentiles include the Arabs, right? Gentiles are all non-Jews. It says the Jews and the Gentiles, which includes the Arabs, are brought together as one. Brought together as one. How? How can the Bible say that? How can the Bible teach that these two mortal enemies were brought together as one? There's only one way. Only one way that two such bitter enemies with years of hurt and pain and hatred can be brought together as one. In Christ. Only in Christ. And we're going to see that today. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start with verses 11 through 12. 11 and 12. I have it up here on the screen too. Let me read it for you. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul starts this section with therefore. And so whenever you see therefore in the Bible, right, you have to look back at the previous verses to what he was talking about. And Paul had just said in verse 10, the previous verse, that all believers, including Gentiles, the non-Jews, are God's, what? Masterpiece. Remember, Pastor Robert O, he shared about that. He shared about us being God's masterpiece. So he just talked about we are, all believers are God's masterpiece. But here, Paul wants to remind the Gentiles that although they are indeed, and we are indeed God's masterpiece in Christ, none of them and none of us has any reason to boast in and of ourselves. So he says, you are God's masterpiece, but remember who you were. Remember your roots. Remember where you came from. You know, when I read this, it made me think of sports figures, especially very successful athletes, right? Because I remember seeing many interviews where there's very successful athletes and they're interviewing them, and it seems like invariably they always talk about their past, where they came from. You know, and some of them came up from very rough paths or very poor paths, right? And they always talk about their past, their roots, where they came from. Why do they do that? Why do they do it? Because they don't want to forget, and they want to stay hungry, and they want to stay humble. You know, pride, thinking that we are better than other people kills relationships. Pride in marriage kills a marriage. Pride in friendships kills friendships. And Paul does not want them to boast. The Bible even says, right, pride goes before the fall. And so Paul is reminding them, Gentile believers, and he gives this whole list of who they were before. He says, they were not the original chosen people. They were not the OGs, right? The Jews were the original chosen people. He goes, that was not you. You were not circumcised. He says, you were separated from Christ. Huge chasm and divide between you and Christ. He says, you were not of the commonwealth of Israel. You were not part of Israel. Your ancestors, your spiritual fathers, you did not have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as your fathers. You were strangers to God's covenant promises. In fact, Paul says, in your state, you had no hope and you were without God. So Paul's telling them, don't get puffed up because it's all God's grace. Don't get puffed up towards the Jews, because some of the Gentiles started thinking, we're the new chosen people. We're the spiritual ones. The Jews, right? They missed out. He says, don't get puffed up. Stay humble. Because Paul is setting something up here. He's setting up some important teaching. So let's go to verse 13 through 16. But now in Christ Jesus, again, he's addressing the Gentiles in particular, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, the conflict, the sin, the animosity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. Okay, so Paul says, but now in Christ. He says, Gentiles, you were far away from God, enemies of God because of sin. That was all of us too. We are all Gentiles, except Stephen Donenfeld. He's not here today. Stephen Donenfeld, Jewish. Everyone else, Gentiles. We were far off because of our sin. We were actually enemies of God, separated from God. But now, he says, because of the blood of Jesus, you are in Christ. Can't be brought any nearer than that. You are in Christ. A few weeks ago, I spoke on Ephesians chapter 1, and we talked a lot about being in Christ. All the things that Paul says that we have received in Christ. This is the whole list. This is a list. This is just from Ephesians 1:1-14. All the things it says about we have received and who we are and what have been done for us in Christ. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. We have been chosen. We are holy and blameless in God's sight. When God looks at you, he sees you as holy. He sees you as blameless because he sees the new you, the spiritual you, the one in Christ. You have God's favor. You've been adopted as a son or daughter. You are redeemed. You are forgiven of everything. You are lavished upon with his grace. You have his good pleasure. You have received his kindness. You are part of God's plans and purpose. You have God's inheritance. You were sealed with the very person of God and the Holy Spirit given to you. And you are received as God's own possessions. These are just some of the awesome things that every single believer has received in Christ. This is something you should memorize. You should study. You should know here and learn to embrace here, because this will transform you. Just believing to and taking to heart that when God looks at you, he sees you as holy and blameless and faultless. That truth alone transform you. Transform you. Because every time you go to God, it's like faultless, blameless, does not hold a mark against you. Come, 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 freely come. So this is what every believer has. But not only is this applied to individuals, but in Christ, God has done some incredibly powerful things in terms of the community, in terms of his people, in terms of the relationships between those that are part of God's family. In verses 13 through 16, which we just looked at, it says, in Christ Jesus, this is what's happened to the community. All those who are in Christ Jesus, this is what's happened. He brought us near, near to him, but also near to one another. It says, he himself, Jesus, is all of our peace. You know, I don't know where you go looking for peace. I don't know how you try to find peace. You know, all of us deal with stress. All of us deals with levels of anxiety. We get worried about stuff. Where do you go to find peace? Maybe you try to chill out and watch TV, right? Maybe some of you eat for comfort, right? Maybe some of you go out and take a walk. Maybe some of you exercise. Some of you engage in hobbies. Some of you just try to get to a quiet place. What do you do to try to find peace? This says peace is only found in one place. Jesus. He says, Jesus is our peace. Jesus himself is our peace. Finding yourself, knowing that you are in him. But he says, he is our peace. He broke down all the walls that divide his people. When you come into Christ, all the walls between you and every other person have been broken down. He says, he fulfilled the law. That was especially important between the Jews and the Gentiles. Because the Jews felt like, well, the Gentiles, they don't follow the law. They don't fulfill the law, right? They're heathens. But Jesus says, no. They fulfill the law in me because I have perfectly fulfilled every jot and tittle, every period, every T crossed, every aspect of the law Jesus fulfilled. And where are we? In him. In him. And then he made us, it says, one new man. All believers are a new humanity. You know what that means? It means you have a brand new parent. You know, with that whole idea of being born again? When you receive Christ, you were completely born again. Your spirit was dead, separated from God. But you were born again. You have a new heavenly father, right? Born completely new into a new humanity of people. New family, new father, new brothers and sisters, new humanity. And so this passage, God says through this passage, his people, his community, his family is something the world has never seen before. It's a new humanity within whom there are no walls. Let me give you an example. Every time I do this, I feel like I'm doing a little magic trick or something, you know? Okay, this is my grandson's little toy, so don't tell him I'm using them. Okay, so this is all of us, right? All different kinds of people, right? When you receive Christ, you're born again. And what happens? The Holy Spirit comes into you, but you were put in Christ. So this jar is Christ. So all of us that receive Christ, right? We're in Christ, put in Christ. Okay, and let me start from the beginning here. All of us were put in Christ. Every one of us were put in Christ. But we being put in Christ, everyone else is in there too. We're all together in Christ, right? All with all the other believers. And in Christ, we are near one another. We share his peace. The walls are broken down. Law is fulfilled. Renew humanity. This right here, this picture right here of all of us together in Christ, near to God and near to one another, this is a fact. This has taken place. This is the truth. This is the reality of your state, your condition, of our community. We are one new person in Christ. Now, you could think, as a believer, you're not in Christ. You could feel, I don't feel like I'm in Christ. You could act like you're not in Christ. But you are. But if you feel that way, if you believe that, then what's going to happen is you're not going to experience
subjectively in your life all that God intends you to have in Christ. Even though you're here, that's a fact. If you do not believe you're there, you're not going to experience that. You know all those things? Let's go back to that slide. All of these things, right? Every spiritual blessing, holy and blameless, adopted, God's favor, God's forgiveness, lavished by his grace, right? His good pleasure, all of these things, it's only in Christ. And you could only experience these things if you believe you're here. If you don't believe you're here, you're in Christ, even though you are, in your daily experience, you're not going to experience that. Because you're going to start thinking, I messed up. I sinned. God's probably angry at me. Right? Is that true? No. Because right here, it says you are holy and faultless in his eyes. But if you don't feel that and believe that, you're not going to experience that, even though it's true. And that's the problem many Christians have. The problem many Christians have is that they don't truly believe the facts and the truth about who they are, what condition you're in, and who you're with. You know, this whole idea about being in Christ and he could break down the walls, breaks down every wall, the whole thing about the conflict, I don't think I have witnessed or seen or experienced it any greater than when I was at this one gathering. It was 2015. My wife Dale and I, we were at a gathering, a Christian gathering in Germany. And international group that we had been connected with. And so we went there, several others in our church, we were there with us too. And we were there with probably about 2,000 to 3,000 people in this gathering in Germany, Christian gathering. And at one of the meetings, and it was international. There were people from all over the world. It was really awesome. People from all over the world were there. Many different nations were represented. But at this gathering, there was also Messianic Jews. Those are Jews that have put their faith in Jesus and are believers. And there were also Arab Christians at this gathering. So after one of the sessions, they had a big session, like I said, 2,000 to 3,000 people. And at the end of the close of one of these sessions, one of the Messianic Jewish pastors was asked to give the blessing to close the session. Except before he went up, he said he felt like the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him. And so he goes up, and he was about to give the blessing. And then he says, God spoke to him. And he said that he was supposed to give the blessing, but how could he give the blessing on the body of Christ, his brothers and sisters, without his big brother? He says, how can I give the blessing without my big brothers? And he said, the Arab Christians are our big brothers. He said, we are one family. We have one father. And he said, he spoke to the Arab Christians. He said, you have stewarded the land in our absence. And as he was sharing these things, again, Messianic Jewish person, complimenting, lifting up, honoring the Arabs, as he was continuing on, talking about them, showing them total love and respect, he's saying, you are our older brothers. We cannot give a blessing without you on stage too. As he was talking, my jaw literally dropped. I was like, what is happening here? And so he said, so I want to invite all the Arab Christians, all my Arab Christians, older brothers and sisters, I want you to come on stage so we could give the blessing together. And then from the audience, there was probably about 75, maybe 100 Arab Christians that started walking forward. And then literally, as they were walking forward, I remember seeing some older Arab Christians, older Arab women. I think some of them were Egyptian Christians. The older women, they had to like almost carry them towards the front of the stage. They were like, could barely walk. And later I heard it was because they were so overcome. They had never seen a Jew in person in their whole life. And they all came on stage and they embraced, and the other Jewish Christian believers, Messianic Jewish believers came on stage, they embraced, they were arm in arm, and they gave the blessing to all of us together. After that, during that, I thought, only in Christ. Only in Christ, where he has broken down those walls, those decades, millennia of hatred and killing and bloodshed and conflict and war. It's not going to happen through political means. It's not going to happen through the UN. It's not going to happen through any human institution. Only in Christ could he bring two people together that probably one of the most intense, contentious, hate-filled, animosity-filled people together as one, only in Christ, because of what he's done for us, because of all that we have received, only in Christ. Paul closes this section by giving us some pictures of the body of believers in Christ, giving us some little pictures, examples of what the body in Christ looks like. Let's look at verses 17 through 22. And he came and preached peace, that's Jesus, to you, who were far away, and peace to those who were near. He's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. Jesus came to preach peace to the Gentiles who are far away, the Jews who were near. They had the covenant of God. They had God as their father. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. These are some of the pictures that Paul gives us of what the body of Christ, what his God's family is like. He says, we are children with access to a heavenly Father. That's a picture of the body of Christ. All of us have access to the Father. It made me think of this picture here. This is an old picture, right, of President John F. Kennedy. And right there in the Oval Office, you have John F. Kennedy Jr., right? And I thought, this is a picture of what Paul's talking about. He's the President of the United States. probably the most powerful man in the world. Could any of us have access to him? No. But there's his son. His access to the president. But not because he's the president, but because that's his father. All of us have access to the heavenly father, like his very own kids that we are. You could go to the father at any time because you're his child. So children with access to the Father, he says we're citizens of heaven. I know a week ago or two, I was talking to Ruth's son. By the way, I want to just give props. Ruth received her doctorate. She's Dr. Ruth's son now. Dr. Ruth's son. She was talking about her parents immigrating from Hong Kong. And at that time, Hong Kong, it was, you know, overseen by Great Britain, but they were not citizens of Great Britain. In fact, they were not citizens of any country. And so when their parents came here, her father, who is a pastor, her father knew, I want to become a citizen of the United States. And she was just sharing with me, you know, we don't understand how valuable, how special, how important it is to be a citizen. You get all the rights and you get all the privileges and all the protections of that nation. And she said they were not citizens of any nation. And when the dad and mom, they had to study hard, they worked hard to become citizens, she said how important and special that was to them. And because they became citizens, she became a citizen, right? It says we are citizens of heaven. This is not our home. This is not our home. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And it says God's household, basically God's family. That's a picture of God's people. God's family, a building that's perfectly fit together. And then the last one, a dwelling of God. This is the drop the mic thing, right? This is what God desires, is to have a people to be their God, and we will be his people that are in loving relationship with one another, God's presence. And so Paul says, this is what has happened in Christ. This is who we are in Christ. This is the community we are part of in Christ. And in closing, I just have one application, just one. And the application is this question: is there anyone that's in the body in Christ that you have beef with, that you have conflict with, that you have written off? Let me just give you three steps to address this. Number one, affirm your belief that you are in Christ, but not just you, everyone else that's a believer is in Christ too. And so, exchange the lie for the truth. You might say, nope, I don't want to be with that person. Nope. If you do that, you're going to limit your experience of all the good things that God wants you to know in Christ. So if there's someone in the body, this is people in the body of Christ that are believers, that you're harboring unforgiveness towards, ill will towards, dislike for, then you are not going to experience, you're cutting yourself short from all that God wants you to have. Because it's all right here. in Christ. So exchange those lies. Just tell God, God, I've been believing a lie. I've been believing that I'm a believer, but I'm on my own. That I don't have to be connected with. That I'm not in the same body. I'm not part of the same family as that other person or those other people. You have to confess that, give that to God and say, God, I exchanged the lie for the truth. No, I am in Christ. I am in Christ. I receive all the blessings of being in Christ. And that other person, they've received all those blessings too. That's step one. Step two, forgive. Forgive. After all that Jesus has done for you, you can't forgive. Think about the Arabs and the Jews, the story I shared. In Christ. In Christ, he can help give you the power to forgive. So second step is forgive. Just do it in faith. Lord, I still have to work through these feelings. Help me to work through these feelings, but in faith, I forgive that person. I don't wish them any harm. I bless them. I ask you to bless them, Lord. And finally, practical thing, show that person one act of kindness. Just show that person an act of kindness. Do something kind for them as a step of affirming your belief in the truth of who you are and who that other person is. Let's bow forward in prayer. Lord, we're just scratching the surface of all that you are and all that you have done for us and given to us and all that you've created and brought together in Christ, in your Son. Lord, nothing can compare to being in Christ. And Lord, I pray you would open the eyes of our hearts. You would touch our souls, our mind, our emotions, our will. You'd bring it into alignment with our spirit, who is seated with you, Jesus, in you, at the right hand of the Father. That you would lift our eyes, you would lift our emotions, you would lift our thinking, you would lift our perspective, you would lift our behavior, you would lift our speech, you would lift our actions, you would lift our attitudes, you would lift our hope, you would lift our love, you would lift everything, Lord, to be centered in Christ, in you, in the heavenly places, that we might live, act, think, feel, Lord, from the truth and reality of who we are and all that we have in Christ. And may that extend, Lord, to every person in your family, God, that we have relationship with. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you just move on each one of us? Bring to mind any person, Lord, that we are harboring bitterness towards, resentment towards, unforgiveness towards. Those are bondages. Those are prison cells. Those are shackles and chains that the enemy has put upon us and putting upon us to keep us from the fullness of the life and the blessing and the experiences that you want us to have in Christ. And so, Lord, would you bring conviction, shine the light of your truth, and Lord, just help us, Jesus, to release those people and those feelings and the hurt. Release it to you in Jesus' name. in your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that there's love and freedom in you. And Lord, now I just pray that we would just be able to freely draw near to you and give you worship, thanks, and praise that you deserve. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.